Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you doing today?
I am. Right.
I like that. I am. I think that's my favorite.
That's transcending into that place where we aren't.
Yes.
But I am.
Or at least acknowledging that all that it is, which brings me back to what you're writing here about how to enter the garden of eternal life. And what you mean really, I guess, is that place, and I'm going to combine the beginning of your article to the very end, the place where there is no knowledge of good and evil. Why?
Yeah.
Why is there no knowledge of good and evil in Eden, and why is that important to us, from your opinion?
Oh, in my opinion?
Yeah.
Well, I wrote it in Treasure Chest, and that is that the fruit, is that when it came to me, that's a revelation, that the fruit in that second chapter of Genesis, second chapter, is where where they get kicked out of the garden. The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, eating that, when they first ate it, it had to be a hallucinogen, because all of a sudden they thought they knew. And it's so obvious, if you're reading it in the spirit, that it's there, that it's craziness. How on earth could they believe that they had to hide from God and that they had to cover their privates, so to speak, when 2 seconds before, they didn't know it, and it didn't bother God, obviously. So what came to me was, it was a hallucinogen. It was like people who took acid. All of a sudden, wow, they saw everything, you know. Well, what they saw was crazy. What they saw got them booted out. And everybody focuses on the fact that, well, the original sin is God told them not to do that, and they went ahead and did it anyway. Well, yeah, I understand that, but that's a perspective that gets you nowhere. What you better understand is that that fruit didn't show them anything. And I have gone off on that forever on academic institutions and people who think that they're going to gain any kind of spirituality by getting knowledge. Academic knowledge. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's eating the fruit of knowledge. And when you begin to look at it from this perspective of, wait a minute, when we start looking and laying out rules of behavior for what makes you spiritual, that is, what is good and what is evil, don't do this, but you can do that. And the longer we make the list, the crazier we get, the more removed from God we get. And what God is showing me right this moment is, don't make judgments. Don't make judgments on anything. And somebody might say, well, wait a minute, how can you say that it's all right to murder? I didn't say it's all right to murder. You know, but, you know, that's all established. Why was it established? It was established to show us how far off the mark we are. When you're in the garden, you don't have to concern yourself with those things. You have to concern yourself with anything because you're in the garden of eternal life. Stop making judgments. It's not yours to judge. You don't have to worry about it. But as soon as we think we know, and I'm guilty, I'm raising my right hand right now, I'm guilty as charged. I can't tell you how many times I've said, well, look, I know what I know what I know. And it's all based on the knowledge I've gotten from experience. Well, yeah, I do know at a certain level. And it's like right now, I'm speaking pretty emphatically about the fact that we can be in the presence of God by, and it's the only way to enter it again, by saying, I want to be in your presence. And that's what this article is all about.
It is,
Brian.
It is, yeah. And getting into his presence is what we're doing on a daily basis with our challenge. More of your presence, more of your power. I want more faith. Yeah, and so that brings me back to the article. You talk about a passage in the Bible that clearly reveals an alternative. What passage is that? Do you remember it off the top of your head?
Yeah, I do. It's Hebrews 11, the 5th and 6th verses.
Okay.
And some place or another, I have written to you recently some article or another, and where I laid it out in what I think it was the Brad Cullen accurate translation from the original.
Okay, I think I've got it here. Here's your translation here. For just as Enoch by faith pleased God and avoided death, anyone can do it if he or she comes to God earnestly seeking him for fellowship until they know they are closely connected with him. How do we know this to be true? Because God himself has promised it. But it is impossible to please God and get this kind of result without this kind of faith. That's what you're talking about, isn't it? Is that Hebrews 6? Okay, so that's the that's the passage you're referring to.
And I believe I when I wrote that to you, I believe I said something like, even in a lame or a lame English translation, you can get it, but it's really tough to get it out of English. You almost have to read it out of a Greek New Testament to really understand and get it. And you don't have to be a Greek scholar. You can go to a interlinear that's valid. That becomes a challenge also. You know, interlinear is one of those translation things where you the English is on one line, the Greek is the next. Somebody wants to ask me, I can probably dig it up. And I hate to go there because really I got that from Revelation from Daddy. I didn't get it from the Greek. And yet when I went to the Greek, talk about a confirmation. That's exactly what he's saying. You know, come to me in faith and come to me believing. But you know what happens is in English they said, well, you must believe that God exists. Well, what God showed me and there's a passage in another part of the Bible that proves that it's crazy is in James, where he said, well, believing, what's that? You know, so you believe in God? Big deal. You know, even demons believe in God and they tremble with fear because they know what their destiny is. You know, they're going to be destroyed. Wow, and I don't want to get off into that because that's a bunch of crazy theology that goes along with it. But the point is a way to enter into the garden of eternal life. And it's right now, it's this moment, and you have to transcend from this physical and go off into the spirit realm and say, you know, Dad, I want you, I want to have the same kind of fellowship that Enoch had with you. And that's what the writer in Hebrews is saying. This is it. This is the faith of Enoch. And what is it? It's that you don't even believe in death anymore because it doesn't exist. And you don't have to die. Enoch avoided death. How? By having fellowship with Dad now. How do you get it? By one way, earnestly seeking him and wanting fellowship with him because he wants it with you. And once you get there, you understand that and you say, oh, wow, this isn't me at all. All I'm doing is responding to Daddy who's calling us back to the Garden of Eden, if you would.
Well, now that's an interesting thing that what you're saying there, because you'll have to help me with the story, because I've always considered it a metaphor. The story is like a dream sequence, so to speak, rather than an actual happening. In the book of Genesis, didn't God post a guard at the gate of the Garden of Eden?
Yep.
And so how does just this faith walk of earnestly seeking him get us past that guard?
Look, and maybe it is a metaphor. I'll go way out on a limb here and lose I would say it's probably a metaphor. But so what? That doesn't take away from its truth. But when you look at it in the sense that what was wrong was they ate fruit that made them aware of their physical presence. How you escape the physical presence and get into the kingdom now instead of waiting till what the religionists have conditioned us to, that the only way to enter heaven or the spirit realm is by dying. The only way you do it is by knocking that stuff off and saying, wait, Daddy, I want you now. I want to have fellowship with you now. And guess what? By this faith, according to this passage, you avoid death.
Okay, well, hold on. You still haven't answered my question. What about the guard at the Garden of Eden?
Well, that's the point. Why was the guard there? God posted the guard because he's not going to have people who are in the physical realm walking willy-nilly into his kingdom. It's over.
Trampling his trees.
Pardon?
They'd probably cut down all the trees and make a house out of it.
Yeah, and put a cross on the front of it. You know, I had a conversation with a delightful lady today. She has come out. She's no longer part of the church. I would almost say that she has given up one set of doctrines and taken on another set. And I'm not saying that critically at all, because we all do that. But here what we're saying is this transcends doctrine of any kind. We're not talking about belief. We're talking about, Dad, I want to know you. I want to sense your presence. I want to have fellowship with you. And I'm here to tell you from my experience, and I think you shared this a little bit after several days on our 21-day walk and other times and before that. I'm not trying to point us that, boy, this is the way there, because our 21-day challenge or our website or anything else is nothing in the eternal scheme of things. But we're called on, and we're using this website to say, look, go to Dad direct. And this is what we're talking about. I think when this article came to me yesterday, and believe me, it came to me, have fellowship with Daddy now. He wants it now. I don't care what you call the source, the beneficent, everything. If you have to call him God, go ahead. It doesn't make any difference. But when you acknowledge there is this being who loves you and cares for you, and you believe in its existence, and you finally, in desperation, you say, okay, I want to sense you. I want to know you. I want to have fellowship. And then you begin to understand, wait a minute, that's right in the Bible. Wow. And it's in the Bible in such a fascinating way. And Enoch's not the only one. On another podcast, you mentioned Elijah, but there's more than that. Who didn't die? And you don't have to die. I don't have to die. I fully intend that I'm not going to experience death. Well, guess what? If I do go the way they say, the religionists say, I'm not going to experience it anyway. What difference does it make? But here, I know I am in eternal life this moment. How do I know that? Why do I know that? Because I am. I know I sound like a babbling idiot, but you don't have to pay any attention to me. Go direct. Go to him. And just begin saying, I want to sense your presence. I want to know you. I want to have this kind of fellowship. This is the alternative, Ryan, that I'm talking about in this article.
Yes.
And I know I'm like raving like a lunatic right now, but that's it. It's simple. You too can be a lunatic.
Well, I think I resemble that crowd because that label, because since we've been doing this more and more, I am hesitant to even begin my day without knowing that I'm in his presence. Until I'm 100% sure I'm in his presence and he's with me and we're there and I'm connected. Because I just do not like any longer the feeling of not being present. Of not being aware that I am.
Let me tell you what's coming to me right this moment that is so fantastic. When Jesus was in the middle of horrid, abject pain, that he was had prepared himself for going, and boy, but when he was there, it was miserable, and he felt so disconnected, you know, that he yelled out and said, God, why have you forsaken me? Now, the point I'm making is that what I'm seeing this moment, when we're in pain, when we're going through physical stuff, where, excuse me, I'm going to use the word the enemy, and it's like, well, we don't have an enemy. Well, okay, if you're to that point and you understand that, it's really true, and I understand what you're saying, but when you're in pain and when you're in going through stuff that on the physical plane, you feel separated from God. And that, when you get through that, when you get on the other side of that, and you realize it's nothing, you know, and it's but our physical senses are crying out, just like Jesus cried out, why have you forsaken me? You ever felt that way, Ryan?
I certainly have.
It just means you're caught in a place where you don't have any choice. You're focusing on the physical at that moment. Big deal. And so the way you get past that physical, and now I'm seeing why some people insist that of this physical death stuff, because ultimately you have to die to that. But guess what? In this passage, in the three or four passages where Enoch is mentioned, he didn't die because God took him. Christians at a funeral will blithely, or when they celebrate, have a celebration of life, instead of admitting this guy just died, what they say is, well, God took him home. I'm really being facetious here. I'm being sarcastic, and I know I am, and I'm doing it on purpose. But that's not the scriptural God took him home, you know. Because God took him is in making reference to Enoch, and he didn't die. And they couldn't find him because God took him. And whole different thing, and he did that, I don't know, he was 350 or 400 years old, and that gets us off into a whole other discussion. People think that's, those long years are metaphoric. If you begin to understand some things geologically and scientifically, people really did live back those kinds of years, and there are a lot of reasons.
Maybe we can save that for another time. Just to wrap up, Brad, can you just make one succinct statement that can carry people at the beginning of this journey, the beginning of their 21-day challenge, or whatever, how many ever days that they're going to go?
Yeah, I think I can. There's your prayer. Daddy, I want to sense your presence. I want to know you. I want to have this kind of fellowship where I don't even have to worry about anything else but you. And you do it in everything. You, in the middle of pain, in the middle of work, in the middle of anything you can think of, including joy. I'll go off really crazy here, in the middle of sex. Dad, I want to know you.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate you talking to us today. And let's get together. Is it one more time before our 21 days are up to talk about the challenge, and then we move on to other things? Or
you're the publisher, but I want to say to you with a huge suggestion. Uh-huh. Let's carry on 21 days forever, because we're in the Garden of Eternity right now. Let's quit getting off into time limits, because time limits get us all screwed up anyway.
Okay.
How do you like some apples?
I like them apples just fine. Okay. Thanks, Brad.